This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Here from all of us at the show. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. It's been a rough and long week, I would say, as we continue to battle that elusive beast, COVID, and the news just gets worse and worse. I hate to say it. I mean, again, it's that analogy of going up the mountain and coming back on the other side. There's some news about Pfizer and testing and distribution of the vaccine and the safety of the vaccines. In fact, to display, I guess, or to encourage people to get the vaccine, ultimately, you have three former presidents who are going to be vaccinated on TV to do it live in some manner so that people can see that they're not afraid to get the vaccine, meaning that you've got Bush Jr., you have Clinton, and you have Barack Obama, all three who say, these former presidents, that they want to encourage people to get the vaccination. Anthony Fauci, who Joe Biden, the incoming president, wants to be his top doc, says that he would have his family vaccinated, and he would be vaccinated as well, with provided everything is safe with the vaccine. And in all indications, that's what he says is his complete belief. So Joe Biden asked Fauci to be the coronavirus expert, to become his chief medical advisor. Fauci, who at one point was the favorite, I think, of the current president, Donald Trump, of course, and then kind of fell out of favor. And then it was kind of murky as to what that relationship was from the president's point of view. But Fauci, who is the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, has been the top guy dealing with the pandemic. And even though he was sidelined at some points during the year after the warnings of the importance of wearing the mask and social distancing and halting the large-scale gatherings, he is the guy who Biden wants to stay on in the same exact role that he's had for the last several presidents. And again, his title would be that of chief medical advisor, and to be part of the COVID team as well. And so Fauci is saying that he's going to meet with the transition team to discuss the response to the virus and talk about the vaccinations and a number of things that are going on. More than 273,000 Americans have died from COVID-19. 14 million have been infected. These are numbers because everybody wants to know, and I agree, where are the numbers coming from? And these are the numbers that are coming from Johns Hopkins University. So that number, those two numbers are so important because we've seen that surge of more than 2,800 deaths a day. I mean, you try to put that in perspective and you think of some horrific things that have happened to this nation, and there are no numbers really like that, surpassing all kinds of numbers. People want to make the comparisons of, you know, the deaths of Pearl Harbor, or they want to talk about September 11th and how to put that into perspective to really show people the severity of what we're seeing. And of course, the big concern is holiday gatherings because more people are indoors during colder weather. And the key is, or at least helpful, small gatherings of social distancing, mask wearing. I mean, we know the scenarios. Patios were good for that. social distancing in wherever you were, whether it was the grocery store, Home Depot, or any place where you wanted to have that distance. And in the meantime, we're seeing that another airline bites the dust. Southwest Airlines, which has not had, in their 50-year history, their claim to fame is they haven't had to lay off employees, and now they're talking about furloughing over 6,000 people, everything from the bag handlers to the pilots to the flight attendants and some other people in between that work for the airline, saying that they're putting them on notice, trying to figure this out, dealing with the various unions, but with no stimulus money, because the stimulus money was the thing that saved the airlines, like American, too. And now Southwest is pinched and saying that they won't be able to do it without those funds. If there is another CARE Act, if there is another push, the stimulus package, which is, by the way, gaining some momentum, it could stop that from happening for Southwest, and it could also help the other airlines as well. But at this point, there is no deal. There just is the signs that you've got Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi talking, and they're talking about the package, and there are some pickups. It's all about what's in that $908 billion economic relief proposal. I think a lot of people listening to this show, based on so many of the emails that I've gotten over the past couple of months, when we really thought it was a done deal, figured that they would at least be getting a stimulus check, and then that didn't happen. So these are the first talks that have happened since the November 3rd election with real teeth in it, and this comes on the heels of lawmakers rallying behind this bipartisan spending bill that would help the economy over the next couple of months. And not every aspect, I think, will be agreed upon. And this is, of course, the tug of war. But the fact that it is bipartisan, the fact that there are some possibilities to make this go through is a very, very a big deal, of course, because like I mentioned, Southwest Airlines would be one of those that could benefit from it, and they wouldn't have to furlough all those people. And then there would be so many others who would get that much-needed bump, like the $300 per week, so the federal unemployment benefits that would jump up. And of course, child care, vaccine distribution would be rolled all into all of this. Attacking hunger and the problems over that, small business aid, so $300 billion for small business aid, that'd be part of it, $160 billion for state and local governments because they're pinched there, obviously, too, as well. And I think that they're going to ramp up these talks even more from what I understand, so that's a good thing. Compromise, having Mitch McConnell say, listen, compromise is within reach. We know where we agree. We can do this. So Pelosi and McConnell, again, have discussed approving that spending package and a coronavirus stimulus bill as soon as possible. I mean, even saying optimistically that it could be reached by December 11th, that they could have an agreement by then, which is a completely different ballgame than what we had heard a month ago and weeks before that, and how bleak it was as we rolled into the fall. We're going to continue to roll through this hour of the show, including your thoughts when we hit the mailbag, so stay with us.
Healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged, in a sense, against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
This is sponsored by Amazon. This holiday season, Amazon is delivering smiles to charities across the country with the help of celebrity partners Gabrielle Union and Ali Raisman. And it's easy for customers to join them in giving back. Kate Scarpa, Amazon spokesperson.
We're proud to support charities that have been impacted by the challenges of this year. And customers can also join us in giving back by shopping through Amazon Smile. By starting at smile.amazon.com, customers can find incredible holiday deals, low prices, and convenient shopping, with the added bonus that Amazon will donate a portion of their purchase price directly to the charity of their choice at no cost to them.
Customers can also donate items to charities directly at smile.amazon.com/charity lists, where nonprofits create wish lists of the items needed most. Additionally, shoppers can donate to Toys for Tots by saying, "Alexa, donate to Toys for Tots," or make a monetary donation to a charity of their choice by saying, "Alexa, I want to make a donation." Learn more and give back this season at smile.amazon.com.
That you would hear in that very familiar song, "You Can Never Leave." And that is the joke in California. It is no joke, though, that there's a big lockdown coming for 3 weeks. And why? It's because of the spread, the lack of beds, ICU space, all of that. And the governor, Gavin Newsom, talking to his constituents earlier in the day to talk about this is what it looks like. Here's Newsom.
We are announcing and introducing a regional stay-at-home order in the state of California, fundamentally predicated on the need to stop gathering with people outside of your household, to do what you can to keep most of your activities outside, and of course, always most important non-pharmaceutical intervention, that is, wear face coverings, wear a mask. Here's what we are introducing today. Regions where the ICU capacity is falling below 15%. We are now mandating that we are implementing a stay-at-home order for 3 weeks.
There you go. And that goes directly to the amount of capacity. That ICU capacity is such an important number in measuring this And some of the people in California are furious. And, of course, others are concerned because they read statistics like every 30 seconds somebody is dying or coming down with COVID-19. Specifics for Cali, for those of you listening to us in California, 9,702 people hospitalized in California, 2,147 are in intensive care. So now you do the math in this, and 1,800 beds, less than 1,800 beds are left, and then it goes to, sure, what do you do when you run out of that space? You're in trouble. And particularly hard hit is Southern California has 26%, Bay Area has 28%. Northern California, though, has that 15% of its beds available, and that's the scary number. So what's happened is hair salons, barbershops, boom, closed. Retail stores, 20% capacity. Restaurants only takeout and delivery for those 3 weeks. And those hard-hit areas are really in the north. Not like L.A. County is certainly bad, but Greater Sacramento, San Joaquin Valley, Southern California, boom, some of those spots in between, the Bay Area, that's the, some of the places where it's nasty. I used to live in California, so I was looking at a map of Southern California and their map of how they assess it, because it's color-coded kind of thing, the population and how hard hit they are and when they project the lockdowns, by the way, because it's different for every single place. So, for example, Santa Barbara and Ventura and a place I used to live, San Luis Obispo and Orange and whatnot, their projected lockdown date is coming up. The population there, 23 million spread out in those various counties. Mid to late December in the Bay Area and just some areas like San Mateo, Sonoma is another one. Remember, they got hit with the fire, Santa Cruz. And I think this is pretty much what a lot of governors are looking at, watching the hospital numbers, constantly being informed about that so they can make better decisions, governors and mayors, and going from county to county, better decisions on each area, because this is what we keep seeing. It is like a sad, sick, twisted game of whack-a-mole. You know that game when you go to the arcade and they just keep popping up? It keeps popping up. So if you're in an area where it's not, if they're monitoring it closely, especially when we look at the economy and small business and how it's also being strangled, that by keeping tight reins on that and watching, not everybody has to fall into that same category. So instead, there are places that you won't have people grumbling and saying, you got to be kidding. People have masks. We're separated. We're not seeing that flare up. And why should we have to lock down for 3 weeks? Or why should we have to completely shutter every single restaurant? So I think this is, period, what's happening in almost all governmental institutes, the focus, meaning locally in your areas where you're listening to me right now in Tucson, Arizona, New Orleans, in Portland, and some of the smaller areas, in Ottumwa, Iowa, for example, in West Virginia. You're looking at it from the state point of view, then looking at it from county to county. And, you know, the craziest thing is, and this is something that chaps off everybody who sees it, the Austin mayor is getting massive hate mail. Phones have just blown up in the mayor's office, and it's for a good reason, because he went on TV, just like Gavin Newsom, just like we've seen so many other governors or mayors take to the airwaves, and he was vacationing in Cabo when he said people needed to stay home. Hey, you all stay home, but I got on a private plane and I got to go to Cabo San Lucas, which is a really nice area, by the way. And so we have a timeshare, so we got to hang out there. And but for the rest of you, don't take that chance. And then there was the whole thing about, you know, a wedding, having an outdoor wedding, having 20 guests at a downtown hotel. So talking out of both sides of the mouth doesn't work for politicians. This is something, especially now, people are so weary. so weary of that. And when you see that and that blows up all over Twitter, it certainly doesn't help the cause for the mayor trying to get people in Austin, a big, by the way, party city, because you have UT there, huge, the University of Texas, a famous street, 6th Street, where people go to the bars, there's outside bars, there's parties, all kinds of things happen there. Normally a place that is jamming, thriving with live music. And of course, because they're saying stay home, they're stressing that, they're shutting places down, when these businesses are in trouble and they look at that, that doesn't do anything to help the cause of making people want to do the order of staying in as much as possible. In fact, it's the opposite. Well, if you're doing it, so maybe I know some of the timeshare, maybe we have a place that we can go. Why do you have to slam us for that? And then you do the very same thing. So I would say that these politicians have to follow what they're telling other people to do. And as you're listening to me, I know you're laughing to yourself, because you probably have seen some of that. You probably have seen some of that doublespeak. And especially when we're so weary of what's happening, and people are also fearful of what to believe. And this is one of those things, when I say we're all in this together, we are all in this together, but you have to make up your own mind as to what you believe and how you look at this information and how you watch this information, and maybe how skeptical you are, and how on a skeptical scale, in some ways you should be, in other ways maybe you don't want to be as skeptical. And this is the problem with the vaccine, which is why I think you're going to see a lot of high-profile people doing what they can to show that they're getting the vaccine, in order to have other people who are way more skeptical that they're not going to have these horrible side effects and that it's going to work. Because what are the risks? What are the side effects of the vaccine? And the vaccine, that logistically, all of that still is being figured out right now, and there are not a lot of doses. There's not as many doses as originally thought. Pfizer saying that they're not going to, they were super optimistic as to how many doses they would have. Now that number has been cut down a little bit. And plus, you're talking about global, our friends in the UK, also people in Australia, all over the place. Just look at a map. How many doses worldwide are we talking about? Do the numbers. But just here in the United States, again, even the logistics of who's going when, who's taking it, who's skeptical. These next couple of months are so, so critical. And that's not lost on any of you, my friends, because you filled the mailbag with all kinds of questions. We're headed to the mailroom now. Stay with us.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Negotiations between Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi resumed Thursday as the two sides tried to strike a deal on a coronavirus stimulus package. The Democrats are pushing a $908 billion aid bill, while McConnell is presenting a $500 billion targeted package. Senator Mitt Romney says he's confident there will be a relief bill soon. The Utah Republican tells CNN that no matter what the final bill looks like, the most important programs will be funded.
We have a $900 billion bill. Whether it becomes $800 or $700 or what the final number is, I think is uncertain. But I do believe that key provisions, which is extending unemployment insurance, extending support for small businesses, vaccine distribution funds, these elements are going to be included. I'm absolutely convinced. And that's going to get to the American people before the end of the year.
This is USA Radio News.
Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe is warning that China's threat to the United States is a defining issue of our time. That warning coming to lawmakers on Capitol Hill on Thursday. Ratcliffe also sitting down with CBS News and talking about how deceptive China was regarding the coronavirus.
The intelligence shows that the Chinese Communist Party's senior leaders, including President Xi, were aware and lied to the rest of the world about what they knew and when they knew it about COVID-19. They made the conscious decision to shut down their economy, to shut down their country, travel in and out of Wuhan where this originated, but they allowed travel from Wuhan to the rest of the world. They knew that.
A wind-driven wildfire is exploding to 4,000 acres in Southern California as residents continue to evacuate. The bonfire near Anaheim has led to mandatory evacuations in several communities. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
Very far to find what bubbled up to the top, and of course it's about what we're all buzzing about in our backyard. I know you get weary of a lot of talk about COVID, but this is what we do here, right? It's about what you're talking about, what I'm talking about, what we see happening. We're getting real, left of left, right of right, or somewhere in between, and of course we mix in other things as well. I don't constantly just hit one thing, and many of you have said that like this. I got this one from Frank, who says, Kate, bravo to you for swimming against the current and doing what you want to do on the show. I find it refreshing that we don't have to hear the same damn thing over and over again about either politics of the day with one theme all the way through, or just COVID, COVID, COVID all the time, even though you are filling in the blanks when it comes to COVID. So I do, ironically, have a question about that. In your gut, what do you think it will look like in the next 6 months when it comes to the vaccine, when it comes to more businesses perhaps reopening and staying open? What do you say? Well, 6 months, we still are, I think, in the gray territory. You know, initially, and listening to what doctors we've had on the show have said, listening to the information that's out there that I'm getting unfiltered, I call it the raw information. It's and it's never, by the way, nothing is ever 100% raw. But I do believe by the summer we'll feel a lot better about where we are. However, this is the thing. Do you want to get back on a plane? Do you feel like if, hey, I'm vaccinated, we got vaccinated, or you have to have proof of vaccination or whatever it turns out to be, would you feel like, yeah, the world's opened back up again. We're going to Disney World. That's it. Go to Disney World, we're going to Europe, or for those of you listening to Europe, we're coming to the United States. We want to see New York, we want to see California. We want to go to the desert, we want to go to Tucson. Kate talks about Tucson, we want to go to New Orleans, we go to Florida. I mean, you get my drift. It's up to us individually. Are people really going to feel safe or not? And I think that's why there's so much of a press. That's why you're seeing three former presidents get together and say, yeah, we'll roll up our sleeves, we're going to do this. And it's going to be that idea of are people and then embracing it, which I think you would see, but I have no way to, I don't have the magical powers to look into my crystal ball and tell you exactly what's going to happen in the future, or would I be doing this show? Probably not. I would be a soothsayer somewhere trying to tell the truth and probably being shut down somewhere. But I do feel like by the summertime, for some reason, to me, that feels like we'll see even more. And I'm not saying things aren't open up before that, but meaning more travel, because really travel is not going to come 100% back for the next year or two, because it's been so off. So for the airlines to bounce back, even with help, it's again, not an automatic solution because of what we've lost in this time period. But I do feel more optimistic than I have personally, and by what I'm seeing with some of the people around me. I mean, look, here's the thing. Don't get close. Wear the mask. Do the social distancing. Again, the trite saying that is almost like a sports cliche now because it gets trotted out so much, including by me. But it is, we're all in this together, because I can wear my mask all I want, but people around me don't. What happens if you get COVID? That happened to my friend's husband. He masked up. He was a manly man. He had a strong immune system, but not strong enough when so many around him didn't wear the mask, and he was in a place where there were more cases of COVID around, and he got it and could not come out of it. And that's the horror of it. That's a sad, sad part of all that. I can't even imagine. You can't be with somebody. Yeah, it's a screen. You can see them on a screen. But you can't be with them in the hospital as they lie dying. I mean, wow. It is an inhumane virus. It is. Right? All right, so then there's this one. This is from Danny. And he specifically addresses what I was talking about Pfizer. Kate, what's the deal with Pfizer and their rollout? I guess now they're not up, some of the material or something, I heard just a bit of it, is not up to the standards that they were hoping, so the rollout isn't going to be as hearty as they had hoped as far as the amount. That's it, exactly. Because guess what it is? Supply chain. I used to talk about supply chain here and there, and what's a tight supply chain? You look at logistics now, especially. So Pfizer's COVID vaccine is already authorized in the UK, but not in the US. And part of the problem is, again, is the rollout supply chain, how do you do it? And they've been submitting all of their data on the vaccine on this rolling basis to the UK. So the regulators there could review it in real time. Here's what's happening. You know, they're constantly getting a dump, a data dump, boom, boom, boom. But the United States wasn't getting that. So the reviews were different. And in the U.S., the FDA has to go through every aspect of what they submitted in the application, including reviewing all the safety information to make sure there's no cracks. They have to make sure it's solid, because you and I want to roll up our sleeves, and the answer to that is no. But in the U.K., they were smarter about it because they had the rolling, the speed happening on the rolling basis. Why that didn't happen, I guess, I don't know if it's just what they don't do in the FDA. I could never get a straight answer on this one, but it's different than in the UK. So the stuff to the FDA is crazy, the amount of data that they have to go through. You're talking about a 44,000-person trial. That's clinical data that they're looking at. Merck submitted theirs from a 70,000-person virus trial. And they say that if you think of 70,000 people, I like the analogy of this. I saw it today, I want to say, on CNBC. So think about the 44,000. If you look at when Merck did their rotavirus vaccine trial, it would be the height of the Sears Tower. I mean, now the Willis Tower, I guess. So that tower is 1,400 feet. It's a skyscraper in Chicago. That's a lot. If you can stack that up and that's what they have to go through, oh, so now for Pfizer, just imagine that. Cut that in half. And that's what they have to go through. They have to make sure it's at least, because with warp speed, so they're trying to do that, but it has to be at least 50% effective. Yeah, so it's going to take weeks for them to go through this. And then the first doses of the vaccine can be distributed in as little as 2 weeks. But it's backed up in the U.S. The U.K., woohoo, you're moving. You're moving faster than we are. But we're not. But then in the U.K., some people don't like that. Some people think it is too fast, even though it was real time. And there is a difference, again, with the real time versus what we didn't have in the United States, right? So they're going to have a mass air shipment of vaccines. I mean, that's already what's happening. United Airlines carried Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine from Brussels to Chicago O'Hare on Friday, right? Mm. Another COVID one. This one is from Sally, and Sally says, Kate, I have two kids in school, and it seems like every quarter we're analyzing whether they should be in school partially, then they're virtually, and I asked the kids what they wanted to do, and both of them decided they wanted to stay home as much as they wanted to be with their friends because the information was out there that was so much information, and some of the people around them, some of the teachers tested positive at one point way before they were back in school. It made them feel uncomfortable. And in fact, most of them are deciding they're not going to do it. It's very strange for the kids to try to decide where they're going to be because they can't roll back the year, but I feel like they're behind. If you were in charge of education, what would you do? Well, I'll tell you one thing I would do. I wouldn't have that state testing. Because, and then I know the argument would be, well, how, then we get behind everything. Everybody gets behind, but everybody's behind in some way. Because how fair is that? I mean, if they could push that off. But the learning, no matter how incredible a teacher is, it is certainly not like what it would have been. I mean, even for goodness sake, from what I understand, even with smoother ways to sign in, it's a jumbled nightmare of trying to do all that. And running classes and having flare-ups and reopening shutdowns or only virtual, or make the decision, is it not virtual or is it half and half? And so then you have half the class. Then you have problems with the Zooms occasionally or whatever platform they're using. A lot of them use Zooms. So I feel for any of the kids in high school, in middle school, those that are even younger, it's got to be tough. But, you know what, the kids are resilient, and I think that they bounce back, and there's the good news. They see what's happening. They'll talk about it when they're older. Hopefully this is the worst thing they go through pandemic-wise, and they'll come out on the other side. That's exactly what I think. All right, let's end on a light note, this one from Bobby. And Bobby says, Kate, you were wrong about the NFL. Pretty shocking, huh, that even though there's been some problems, it really looks like the NFL is going to finish its season. If you had to lay odds on who you think wins the Super Bowl, who would it be? Sure, put me on the spot in the pandemic in week 13. Who do I think wins it? I don't know. If I say Pittsburgh, some people are going to be really, really happy. But then on the other hand, what if I decide to go with New Orleans? I know there's going to be other people that are going to be happy. I'm not giving you my pick. You got to give me a couple weeks because things look pretty shaky out there in the NFL. Stay with us.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells.
Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wrap should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Feel it. Even today, if you can't, then it doesn't matter anyway. You will never understand it because it happens to fast. And it feels so good, it's like walking the glass. It's so cool, so hip, it's so right. It's so groovy, it's out of sight. You can touch it, smell it. But it makes no difference because it knocks you
off. Hard to believe we are racing down the back stretch of this hour. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. Remember, 24/7, you can hit me up with questions, comments, great recipes. Really, lately, the Hubs is on this kick. He's cooking. I'm not complaining. We had the most incredible meatloaf the other day, throwing some greens, and we are good to go. So anyway, go to Kate@KateDelaneyRadio.com, Kate@KateDelaneyRadio.com. Under the heading of I cannot make this up, you know, they say that beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and what is art to one person is trash to another. So often, especially modern art, is critiqued harshly by those who look at it and just don't understand it. For example, the famous Campbell soup cans of Andy Warhol's that are worth a fortune. I've seen them hanging in the Modern Museum of Art, the MoMA in New York, and I've seen it in Fort Worth's Modern Museum of Art, and they are cans. If I painted those cans, I'm not Andy Warhol. I don't have his legacy and the whole pop culture icon that he was in the 70s. So So I think part of that is the personality as well. But it's pretty interesting. I saw somebody sent me what was just looked very much like just it's just a white canvas, like one that I would go and pick up for a couple of bucks at Michael's. And it is a painting, in fact, a painting that just looks like a plain white canvas. But this plain white canvas has been deemed by Sotheby's as a canvas that will probably sell for $3.5 million. Yeah. I would say that's the mic drop moment, although upon further review, you have to get really close to it. Like, you know, if it were hanging in a museum, you would set off alarm bells and everybody would be all over you for getting too close to the artwork. It's from 2008. It's a U.S. artist, Glenn Ligon, who, and I hope I'm saying his last name right, it's his painting. But if you get closer to it, I say painting, you get closer to it, it features this text through it. It's really light, and it's from Stranger in the Village. What is Stranger in the Village? It's a 1953 essay on civil rights by a popular activist and author, James Baldwin. Most recently, one of his plays was turned into a movie. So this is a whole different story then. If you looked at it from afar, or even social distancing, I think you wouldn't really see it. You just, again, think this is just paint on the canvas, right? So there are people that are going to struggle, I think, with its meaning. But what Sotheby's is saying is the painting Stranger is a medium that expresses the inability to articulate. And they say it's profoundly poetic and compelling. It's a monument to the Black American struggle for visibility, recognition, and ultimately freedom. So they describe in the catalog that the artist layers coal dust and white oil stick that has the characters unrecognizable, so it's hard to decipher. It's concealed. And then that's what it is. So when you look at it, you don't realize what you're seeing. I know that I'm seeing green when they say $3.5 million. And if you look at that meaning, it makes a whole lot of sense. But if you were just to look at it head on, and see, that's the thing. And I think it's kind of a metaphor, right, for what we all do in our lives. It's like when you look at something head on and it looks out of whack to you sometimes, and you want to sort of jump in and your mouth gets ahead of you before you really realize what's happening in situations. And, boy, have I seen that a lot lately, where people are just kind of backing off their thing they think they see is completely not what it is. Of course, we're talking about, again, art here. So somebody with some serious money and a belief in this artist and this painting will pay, and they know they're good at forecasting this, $3.5 million. Who knows, maybe even more, but somewhere around that amount of money. So it is the mic drop moment. It just reminds us to take a step back and ask a few questions. Just listen a little bit. You know, speaking of listening, under, again, that same heading initially that I kicked the segment off with, you can't make this stuff up. One of the nicest guys in broadcasting, I've come across him twice in my career, Chris Collinsworth, who is pretty well known, certainly now, with Al Michaels as being the number one, or at least one of the number one teams as far as calling games. And he, at the historic Wednesday Ravens-Steelers game, he made the comment midway through the second quarter, hey, everyone, he said, everyone's a fan. In particular, the ladies that I met, they had really specific questions about the game. I was like, wow, just blown away by how strong the fans are in this town. And then he's probably blown away by all the backlash on Twitter. because he was talking about the specific questions that the women in Pittsburgh had. And boy, of all the places to say that. So I don't think he meant that at all. He meant it as a compliment. But the football fan culture in Pittsburgh especially is very different. And he just got skewered. I mean, every form of social media. And especially, too, even Cleveland's chief of staff became the first, Callie Brownson, became the first female position coach in an NFL game when she stood in for the Browns' usual tight ends coach, Sarah Thomas, has been officiating in the NFL since 2015. So, again, the backlash for Chris Collinsworth, who I think is such a nice guy, was pretty thick. And this is two for him, because he was criticized earlier in the season when he and his broadcast partner Al Michaels joked about being required to wear masks during the broadcast. This is the 12th Sunday night crew, the 12th year for the Sunday night football crew for NBC, and so the two of them worked together. And he apologized. He did. He went to Twitter and he said, "I made a reference to a couple of women I met in Pittsburgh who impressed me with their football knowledge that I wanted to tell their story on the air. I know the way I phrased it insulted many. I'm so sorry. What I intended as a compliment to the fans of Pittsburgh became an insult. I'm sick about insulting any fan, but especially female fans and journalists. I know firsthand how much harder they have to work than any of us in this industry. I was wrong and deeply, deeply apologize." Ooh. Yeah. So, like people wrote, like somebody, I'm just going to give you a little bit of what he took on Twitter. So one woman wrote, "Chris Collinsworth amazed that women know anything about football? Seriously, dude?" And then the hashtag was NFL. And there was this particularly interesting photo that was attached to that. And then there was this one from a woman who I thought this was clever. She wrote, "Still shaking my head that Chris Collinsworth was shocked that women know and watch football and that we have specific questions about the game. Someone please tell Chris we do have TVs in the kitchen." Oops. Whoops. Yeah. Again, you can't make this stuff up. And he didn't mean that. He didn't. And that's what he said. And I'm sure he is just beating himself up about the way that came out, and especially it was such a big game, that Wednesday night game. Crazy big, because we've never seen that before. All right, the music means that I have to leave the stage. Thanks so much to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. Yep, I'm going to say it. We're all in this together. Make it count, everybody.
This is sponsored by Amazon. This holiday season, Amazon is delivering smiles to charities across the country with the help of celebrity partners Gabrielle Union and Ali Raisman. And it's easy for customers to join them in giving back. Kate Scarpa, Amazon spokesperson.
We're proud to support charities that have been impacted by the challenges of this year. And customers can also join us in giving back by shopping through Amazon Smile. By starting at smile.amazon.com, customers can find incredible holiday deals, low prices, and convenient shopping, with the added bonus that Amazon will donate a portion of their purchase price directly to the charity of their choice at no cost to them.
Customers can also donate items to charities directly at smile.amazon.com/charity lists, where nonprofits create wish lists of the items needed most. Additionally, shoppers can donate to Toys for Tots by saying, "Alexa, donate to Toys for Tots," or make a monetary donation to a charity of their choice by saying, "Alexa, I want to make a donation." Learn more and give back this season at smile.amazon.com.